Hi, thank you for the introduction. We're going to change gears a little bit and kind of take it back to some basic agronomy. So today we are going to attempt to answer the question of have removal rates of NPK in grain in Illinois changed? So a little bit of background or a little bit of outline of what I'm going to cover today. I'm first going to give you a short introduction to the project, a little bit about our motivation for doing this research, some background on fertility practices in Illinois, some of the previous research that led us on this path of doing this survey, the objectives of the project, and cover some of our preliminary results and a summary up to this point. So to start into some of the motivation for this project, environmental losses of phosphorus and potassium are of a big concern, not just in Illinois, but throughout the United States. Non-point source losses of phosphorus and potassium, or phosphorus and nitrogen, can lead to degradation of drinking water, the death of wildlife, they can hinder recreation, they have detrimental effects to many industries. The map on the right is from the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy. And this is just simply shows Illinois and some of the sites where we are very concerned with phosphorus loss. Of particular concern are the darker areas, southern Illinois in particular, and I'm going to hit on this a little bit more. So since we are having so many problems with nutrient loss and there's so many ramifications from this nutrient loss, Illinois has enacted the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy. And this strategy seeks to reduce nutrient losses and to enhance nutrient efficiency. And the plan, the goal of this is to reach this point through increased collaboration of people in academia, people in industry, and producers and private parties as well. And the way that we want to reduce nutrient losses and enhance nutrient efficiency is through the identification and implementation of best management practices. Some best management practices that have already been recommended, I'm sure you've heard talks on several of these strategies, are things like cover crops, reduced tillage or no-till, and buffer strips. So along with environmental costs of nutrient loss and reduced nutrient use efficiency, there are also monetary costs. And this is of particular concern to producers. So not only do we want to address environmental concerns, you know, that we think a lot about in science, we want to think about what our producers think about, which is money. And we want to get them involved in this as well. So fertilizer accounts is the greatest non-land cost of production. It accounts for approximately 35% of the cost of corn production and 20% of the cost of soybean production. These are not small numbers. So to bring those two things together, the environmental concerns and the monetary cost of nutrient loss, we want to look at our basic fertility practices in Illinois. So in Illinois, we fertilize our corn, soybean, and wheat based on a minimum fertility level, which comes from a soil testing protocol, along with the estimated crop removal. So these two combined allows us to use a mass balance approach to make sure that our fertilizer is not our limiting value. So as I said, we base our fertility first off of soil test levels. So in Illinois, we recommend a 3 to 4 year soil testing rotation cycle. And this is going to allow us to detect differences in P and K. And these P and K levels are going to be primarily due to differences in the supplying power of the soil. And these differences are going to be due to things like parent material, degree of weathering, native vegetation, as well as natural drainage. The second thing we base our fertility practices on is the estimated phosphorus and potassium removal levels. And we use these to calculate the maintenance fertilizer, or what we expect the crop to remove, or what the crop has already removed, depending on if you're fertilizing before or after the crop is harvested. So we get these numbers that we recommend to Illinois producers and retailers from the Illinois Agronomy Handbook. This is our primary extension document in agronomy. And in yellow, you can see these are the recommended removal rates that are currently published in the book. Well, what we've found through some previous research that I'm going to cover here in a little bit, but also through anecdotal evidence, talking to farmers, what we've seen at our own research sites, is that we don't think these numbers are accurate. They might be outdated. They might not be reflective of current agronomic practices. So one of the goals of this project is to update these, whether they need to be higher or lower than what they are currently. So as I said, some of the previous research has found that these numbers might be off a little bit. So in 2012, Villamil et al. Conducted a survey of almost 200 Illinois farm sites. And through this survey, they found that phosphorus levels were high or very high, and that potassium levels were kind of in the medium range. This study was corroborated by another study conducted by Fernandez and Schaefer, also in 2012. It wasn't just a survey. They actually did field testing. And this field testing indicated high potassium and phosphorus levels in both soybean and corn fields. So what's kind of the take-home message from some of this previous research? We've been over-applying fertilizer. This means that there's going to be little to no additional yield response at these levels. Along with no additional yield response, we're really opening ourselves up for environmental damage and losses from these non-point sources. So moving on to some of our current work, I'm going to cover the objectives of this study. So our first and primary objective was to evaluate current removal levels as well as the variability of these removal levels in corn, soybean, and wheat samples from Illinois. Our second objective was to identify factors that might influence these removal rates. These factors we looked at were yield level, location, as well as year. And I'm going to cover all of this in more detail. So how are we going to update these numbers or see if they're correct? We conducted a survey of Illinois producers, elevators, collecting grain samples from 2014 to 2016, and we are wrapping our sample collection up this year. So we collected corn, soybean, and wheat samples from 9 crop reporting districts in Illinois. Our goal each year was to collect 800 corn samples, 800 soybean samples, and 400 wheat samples. After we collected these samples, we sent them to a commercial lab for analysis of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium levels. So as I said, we looked to collect grain samples from each of the 9 crop reporting districts. And these crop reporting districts are indicative of certain farming practices and soil types in the state. On the right-hand side here, you can see our 2014 and 2015 sample years. In 2014, our numbers weren't quite where they wanted to be, so in 2015, we really looked to ramp up samples, and we did. Didn't quite reach our goal in wheat, so this year our big push was to get more wheat samples. As I said, we're currently wrapping up sample collection this year. So moving into the results. So this is a little busy, but here we have yield and corn grain nitrogen. And on the y-axis, we have pounds of nitrogen per bushel, and on the x-axis, we have yield in bushels per acre. So the main takeaway from this is from our second objective, where we were looking to see if yield was correlated with nutrient grain removal, and in nitrogen in corn, we did not find a correlation. The same thing was seen in phosphorus, where there was no correlation with yield in corn, and the same thing was reflected in potassium. So we did not find a correlation in corn grain yield and nutrient removal. When we looked at soybeans, we found similar results. So soybean seed nitrogen, there was no correlation with yield and nitrogen in the grain. The same was seen in phosphorus, as well as potassium. So moving on and looking at our first objective of updating the book, the recommended removal rates that are found in the Illinois Agronomy Handbook. On these graphs on the y-axis, you can see 100%, 75%, 50%, and 25th percentiles. On the bottom, you can see pounds of P205 per bushel and pounds of K2O per bushel. The main takeaway from these pictures is that the majority of our samples in corn are actually removing phosphorus and potassium that are well below the removal rates that are recommended in the Illinois Agronomy Handbook. When we look at soybean, we saw similar results, that the vast majority of our samples are falling well below the recommended book values. The recommended book value is indicated by the star up here, and we're going to see this in more detail in the summary chart. So this summary chart, the main takeaway is the same as the last two slides. If you look over here, indicated by the red box, almost 100% of our samples for both corn and soybean are falling well below the recommended book value. Something of interest here, though, is that there is a very large range in the values of the samples, and this is something I will address in the summary slide and something that we plan on looking at. But the main take-home message here is that almost all of our samples are falling well below the book value, which indicates that we've been over-applying fertilizer for quite a long time. So in summary, all values are well below recommended book values, and that addresses our first objective to try to update these numbers. When we looked at our second objective of trying to see if things like yield were related to nutrient removal, we found no relation with yield for N, P, or K, at least for corn and soybeans. As I said, our wheat samples, we didn't collect quite as many as we would have liked to in 2014 and 2015. So in 2016, with the collection of more samples, we are going to check to see if this relation occurs in wheat or if we have similar results to corn and soybeans. One more thing of interest, we found that removal levels were different in 2014 and 2015. So this year's data collection, the 2016 data, will be used to verify this and to see what kind of correlation we have with year and nutrient removal level. So before I wrap up, I have some acknowledgments. I would like to thank Dr. Maria Villamil and Dr. Emerson Nassiger for their coordination of this project and for also acting as committee members for my master's work. I would like to thank the Sustainable Cropping Systems Lab at the University of Illinois. I would also like to thank the University of Illinois Commercial Agriculture educators at our research sites. Without them, I would have had a lot harder time collecting grain samples, as well as Illinois producers and all the grain elevators that aided in sample collection. And last but certainly not least, I would like to acknowledge my funding source, the Illinois Nutrient Research and Education Council, for funding this project. So with that, I would like to say thank you for coming to my talk. I would like to open up for questions. So the question was if there's any insight to why we might be seeing drastically lower removal levels. We have several theories. I think we have a lot more efficient hybrids and varieties than what we used to have, and that's something we're also looking into through our variety testing program at the university to see if there's any correlation with variety or hybrid and grain nutrient removal. Along with that, I'm really not sure. I mean, it could be such a thing as these levels weren't right to start with. Exactly. That's a very good point. So he said these levels were established 25 or 30 years ago. That might be something I forgot to mention, but yeah, these levels are old. Farming's changed a lot. You know, not only have our hybrids and varieties changed a lot, our practices have changed a lot as well.
The population alone is
Yes.
Very good
So the question was, is if our moisture, if our grain samples were standardized for moisture and how they were treated. So yes, our grain samples were standardized for moisture. We took them back to the lab, and of course, when we conducted our statistical analysis, they were standardized for moisture. Along with that, we have not looked at the relation of nitrogen to phosphorus or phosphorus to potassium within the samples yet, but that is something that we could potentially look at in future analysis.
All right, that takes care of our time.